This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There we go. Microphone's on now. A little premature, a little excited to start the next hour to talk to our next guests. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. End of the third quarter in Nashville. 24-14 is the score. Illinois with the lead over Tennessee, but the Vols on the move. Live number right now down to 3.5. You mentioned, Matt, we have an excellent list of guests. We already talked to Matt Grill, gave us the latest from behind the counter. You know, that was such a good segment. I say we do it again.
Where are the lines changing? And where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
But we're not going to talk to Matt Grill again. We're going to talk to our good friend over at the Stations Casino, race and sportsbook director at the Red Rock Casino, I should say, part of the Stations Casino group. It is Chuck Esposito, who joins us right now, courtesy of our progressive guest line. And Chuck, before we move forward, let's take a quick step back as the Atlanta Falcons, as 7.5-point underdogs, get the outright win last night. I would imagine teasers, money line parlays, outright bets galore were on the Los Angeles Rams. How lovely was that result last night for you guys?
In your words, it was a lovely result, guys. First, Happy New Year to both of you guys and your families and all the listeners and viewers. But overall, was going into the weekend, a little bit of uncertainty, a little preseason-esque with some of the line moves and guys who were in and out and games that didn't mean anything. But overall, Sunday was pretty good, and it really finished the weekend good with the Falcons winning outright last night.
Chuck, let's actually talk about get back to the NFL here in a minute, because we got a lot to talk about with Week 18. How about the college football playoffs? We got a full bowl schedule on Wednesday. It's going to be good, starting early in the morning and culminating with Miami, Ohio State on New Year's Eve. What's it look like in terms of bowl action for you? And let's focus on that Hurricanes-Buckeyes game first.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised the action's actually been good. I know there's been a lot of kind of downplaying of the bowl games and players opting out and the transfer portal. But overall, the handle's been pretty good, guys. There's been a few good games. But the college football playoffs is what everybody is focused on. Looking at the game tomorrow, we opened Ohio State 8.5. The highest it's been is 10. We've got some buyback on the Hurricanes at plus the 10. We sit at 9.5 right now, which looks to be kind of the industry consensus or prevailing number. Ticket count still does favor Ohio State. 64% of the tickets are on Ohio State. We opened the total 41. It's been as high as 42.5 twice. But it's back to 41 right now. So it looks like right now we will be Hurricane fans when this game kicks off tomorrow night.
How about tomorrow morning? Iowa Vandy in the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa, followed by Arizona State Duke, Sun Bowl in El Paso, Michigan, Texas. A lot of players out on both sides there. That's the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. And then Tim Murray on the sideline with Nebraska, Utah. Utes are 2 touchdown favorites here in Las Vegas. We got 4 games, Chuck, before we get to Miami, Ohio State.
Yeah, I love it, having all the games kind of spread out like that, starting at 9 a.m. It's funny, but that 9 a.m. game has seen so much movement, guys, on the Iowa-Vandy game. Open Vandy 4. It's been as high as 6 a couple of different times. Sits at 5.5 right now. Came back down to 4.5 once before kind of going back up. Right now, there's 66% of the tickets are on Vandy in this game. As far as the total, too, total opened up 49.5. It sits at its lowest number right now at 46.5.
Once again, Chuck Esposito giving us the latest from behind the counter. So you mentioned you guys will more than likely be Buckeye fans. Let's turn the page to New Year's Day. The shortest spread of the 4 games is Oregon and Texas Tech. Right now, you guys have Oregon 2.5, total 51.5. This will be the Orange Bowl, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. our time. What have you seen from this one, Oregon and Texas Tech, and do you anticipate having a significant need, Chuck, in this one?
I think so, guys. I think it's going to be Texas Tech. We did take a couple of good-sized bets on Texas Tech early on, But the sharp money has clearly been on Oregon here. They've driven the number up to the highest number it's been for us, and that's 2.5. I know there's some twos out there industry-wide. Not a lot of movement on the total. Open 52.5, sits at 51.5 right now. 60% of the tickets are on the Ducks in this game against Texas Tech to kick off the day on New Year's Day.
The Rose Bowl might be a little rainy for our friend Wes Reynolds as he heads out there for the Indiana Hoosiers. Right now you have Alabama slightly juiced at minus 20 plus 7, total 48. I'm curious about this one, how the public will bet it, if they are infatuated yet on Indiana or if they think that Crimson Helmet is the one that should be maybe not this big of a dog.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – it's not if it's going to be wet. It's going to be how wet it's going to be. I think that might favor Indiana a little bit if the conditions are like that, with the way that Alabama likes to just run the ball. We opened the game 6.5, went to 7. As you mentioned, it's now juiced towards Alabama at plus 7 and minus 20. Ticket count isn't outrageous. 58% of the tickets are on Indiana. We have seen a little sharp money show on Bama, but nothing to push us to 6.5 yet, guys.
Chuck, is the Mississippi-Georgia game, the Sugar Bowl, on New Year's Day night, is that a pretty strong two-way action game at this point?
It is, Matt. We opened 6.5, we went to 7 and back to 6.5. So there was a little bit of an early push on Georgia. We did take some sharp money on Ole Miss that brought us back down to 6.5. I think that's pretty much the prevailing number industry-wide right now. Only 54% of the tickets are on Georgia, so Ole Miss is definitely getting some love. They led Georgia, I think, by 9 late in the season, had a chance to win that game and didn't. But I think it's going to be a really good handle on that game. Just curious to see what Ole Miss team you get. Are they still with that circle the wagons mentality, us against the world, Kiffin left us? We have something to prove, but it's going to be a tough task to beat Georgia again.
Chuck Esposito, Red Rock Sportsbook Director with us. Chuck, our game of the night here on VSIN Primetime is USC-TCU, the Alamo Bowl. It's going to kick off in about an hour in San Antonio. And several key players, offense players, out for both sides here for the Trojans and the Horned Frogs. Where are you at for the number, and what's your betting action look like tonight?
The game's been all over the place, Matt. We opened the Trojans up 6. It's been all the way down to 3.5, back up to 6, and started to come back down a little bit now. So I think with some of these guys who aren't playing and opting out, we've seen a dramatic line move. Not a huge decision right now, but it does look like we're going to be Frog fans when this game kicks off later today.
Chuck Esposito once again giving us the latest from behind the counter. Let's pivot to the NFL. Chuck, we have a massive game on Saturday. Right now, Seahawks, a 1-point favorite at Stations Casino against the 49ers. Total 49.5. The winner gets the 1 seed and that coveted bye. The loser will be headed on the road, more than likely to the NFC South champion. I know it's early in the week and you still have 5 days of action here. What do you anticipate here with Seahawks and 49ers?
It's funny, Tim, but we haven't seen any line movement yet at all. We opened the game Seahawks 1 and 49.5. That's still where we sit. I know there's been some higher numbers that are out there industry-wide at 1.5. There's even a pick around. I think we might need the Niners at home. It looks like that we're starting to see a higher ticket count on the Seahawks. Niners beat them earlier in the year, 17-14. I think it was week 1. It is. It's a huge game for both teams. Niners are at home. They can stay at home throughout with a win here. I still have to see Sam Darnold win a big playoff game. He tapered off last year toward the end of the season. Last two seasons combined, I think he's got a total of 60 touchdown passes. The defensive edge clearly goes to the Seahawks, but the Niners are at home. See what Shanahan has dialed up here. But there's a real chance that we need the 49ers at home when this game kicks off Saturday night.
Chuck, I assume the battle for the NFC South, Carolina-Tampa Bay, is being bet like the Super Bowl, right?
not exactly.
Okay.
But, don't forget, this game could conceivably mean nothing. That even if Tampa Bay wins this game, they could still maybe not win the South if the Falcons win the game against the Saints. But we opened 2.5. We opened 2, went to 2.5, but not a lot of movement on this game yet. I think we'll probably see some money come in on the Panthers just because of how poorly the Bucs have played over the last 8 weeks, going 1-7.
How about the Lions-Bears game in Chicago, Chuck? The Bears-Niners game Sunday night was highly entertaining. I did not understand why the Bears opened 2.5-point favorites here. I laid the 2.5 with the Bears. They got beat 52-21 by the Lions in week two. This is going to be a payback game, and the Lions in really poor current form. Do you like the Bears in this game?
I do a little bit, Matt, but I'm trying to, you know, separate my heart pick and what I think really is going to happen. I mean, right. The Bears haven't played well against Detroit. It's an opportunity for Detroit to kind of finish the season with a win. We know the Vikings are big favorites against the Packer team that's not going to play anyone. They've won four in a row, the Vikings. This is a Lion team that could go from first to worst with a loss in this game. But it does mean a lot to the Bears. They could finish number two in the NFC. Interesting stat. The Bears are fifth at home in points given up and 32nd on the road in points given up. And as you alluded to earlier, they gave up a ton of points to Detroit when these two teams met in week two at Detroit. Also a chance for Ben Johnson and the Bears to split with all three teams in the NFC North. But big game, early push has clearly been on the Bears.
Chuck, about 30 seconds. Sunday Night Football, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, 3.5 in favor of the Baltimore Ravens on the road at Pittsburgh.
Guys, these two teams have such a history of games being decided by, you know, 4 points or less and really 3 points or less. I think you have to look at Tomlin getting points at home. I know it's no probably Watt if he's there, not 100%, no Metcalf. I think there's some value with the Steelers, though, at home getting points of more than a field goal.
He's Chuck Esposito, our good friend over at the Red Rock Casino in Las Vegas. Chuck, always appreciate it, sir. Happy New Year.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Matt, we got another touchdown.
Tell you what, this Music City Bowl is getting interesting. Tim, it's turned into a shootout here in the second half.
Tennessee into the end zone. We'll give you the latest live line as the Illini's lead is cut to 3-24-21.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Got a fun one shaping up in Nashville. The Music City Bowl between Illinois and Tennessee. 24-21, Illinois went off as a 3-point dog consensus. There were some 2.5s out there in the market. Some late push on Illinois taking the points here, Matt. And we've been entertained here in this second half. And right now, taking a look at the live number for this contest as it continues to keep rolling in Illinois, now inside Tennessee territory. Your live number, 2.5 right now in favor of Illinois, but that is minus $2. Total 55.5, and it just bumped to 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see if something positive happens here for the Illini as they are slight favorites over Tennessee in this Music City Bowl. Still to come tonight, the Alamo Bowl, USC and TCU. And this is a game, Matt, where we talked about it. It's our primetime game of the night. We have got a bunch of opt-outs to note here. And it is also worth noting that the defensive coordinator for USC will not be calling the plays. D'Anton Lynn, well, he's not the defensive coordinator anymore. He is headed to his alma mater, Penn State, where he will be joining Matt Campbell. So D'Anton Lynn is out as the head coach. Their right guard is not playing. Mekhi Lemon, Jacoby Lane, both stud wide receivers not playing. Back end of the secondary, Bishop Fitzgerald, Kamari Ramsey are both out. A lot of pieces out for USC. Jaden Maiava is playing. He is back for another season. And Josh Hoover, the starting quarterback for TCU, he is not playing tonight for TCU. And that's why you see a number hanging around at 4.5.
You know, it's interesting. While you were talking there, I was looking at the DraftKings live odds screen. Look at it right now. Look at the live total. You
55
have it
and a half.
What's it say?
55 and a half.
Mine says 45 and a half.
I want to refresh that.
Then just refreshed it. 45 points right now. 8 minutes to go. That's updates. 3.5, total of 55.5. This game could go to overtime and fly over this total when it looked like a dead under at halftime. Illinois right now minus 260 on the money line. Does that price seem a little bit high? I know they're up 3 and they're driving.
They're facing a third down here. Yeah. So, I would say it's a little pricey here for Tennessee, for Illinois, laying 260.
You know, you're talking a lot about this USC-TCU game tonight, and that's our game of the night. It's a really tough handicap. I mean, really, I think the Trojans are favored like they are because Jaden Maiava, the quarterback, is going to play for USC. But, Tim, most of the skill position players around him are not playing tonight. Will there become a point where Lincoln Riley is going to say, let's get our quarterback out of the game. It's more important to have him healthy for next season than to win this Alamo Bowl with so many guys out tonight. I would look under the total here, too. I think
I played first half under 28 out there.
I'm thinking about playing this under 56.5 before kickoff tonight. I know the total opened 58.5. That's not the best number, but again, when that total opened 58.5, I think since then we've had a couple guys opt out of the game that we thought might play in San Antonio tonight, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's not a ton of opt-outs. Unless
if the defense is lie down, I guess this game could go over the total, but you got so many key offensive players out tonight. That's a high total in San Antonio.
Looking at TCU, Eric McAllister, their leading wide receiver, he's going to play. Bud Clark, their safety, he's going to play. But, I mean, the biggest loss that you have is a big one. It's their starting quarterback, Josh Hoover. They're also will be without Kendall Briles. He has moved on to South Carolina, so they will have a new play caller for this game. I think the way these bowl games, certainly early on, you've got a veteran quarterback in Ken Seals. You've got Jaden Maiava trying to work with new wide receivers. I took under 28 in the first half. It was a half-unit play. It wasn't a full play. It would be something we could sweat out on the air. But a lot of these bowl games have started off slow. Now, the Alamo Dome is a fast track. This is one of the bowl games that you always love to see points in. Mm-hmm. So it might not be the most enjoyable bet. But I took a little first half under here in this game, and you seem to be leaning more full game under in this one.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, and I go back to that Michigan-Ohio State game. I don't like to get too cute with the totals sometimes because, you know, you think first half under, and then Michigan-Ohio State, you got 26 points in the first half, only 10 in the second half. And, you know, that can come back to bite you sometimes.
And it's not like this is a fully stacked USC defense. No defensive coordinator. Stud safeties are out. Edge rusher out.
You know what you could also do when you play totals like this? We talk about this in baseball a lot, too. You can split your unit, play half unit on the first half under, half unit on the game under.
Totally.
And it is riskier in college football playing the game under because you might have overtime. We might be watching overtime in the Music City Bowl.
Yeah, this is a game that was a dead under in the first half, still trending under right now, there's no doubt. Big 3rd and 5, by the way, coming up for Illinois. Ball at the 32-yard line of Tennessee, and this is no doubt 4-down territory for Illinois. They've got to get themselves into more manageable field goal position, you would imagine, as Luke Altmaier is going to get a first down. Maybe this is just a little bit of a soapbox here, and if you're a guy going in the portal, if you're a guy who is going to the pros, I have no issue with you not playing in a bowl game. But a guy like Luke Altmaier, who probably, maybe makes a practice squad, I love to see that he's just balling out.
It's an audition.
Yeah, this is his final chance.
This guy is trying to show NFL scouts that he can play in the league, and he's trying to impress people. So this is an opportunity for him. He should be out there. Now, if you're the Eli Stowers tight end for Vandy, you're the Mackey Award winner, and you're going to probably be the top tight end on the draft board, no. Why would you go out and risk injury in a game like the one we're talking about tomorrow morning? So for a guy like Luke Altmaier, this is an opportunity. He should be out there playing, and he's probably improved the stock a little bit by the way he's played today.
By the way, we've got
what is going on with this Milwaukee Wisconsin college hoops game?
So I told you, UW Milwaukee from the Horizon League, they played last night against IPFW, the Mastodons. They won by 22. They are shorthanded, dealing with some injuries. They were down, I think, 16 at halftime.
16-2 right out of the gate, right?
Yeah, they were getting smoked out of the gate. And right now, you look up at the Kohl Center, Matt, and the Badgers of Wisconsin only up 9 on the Panthers. My guy Bart Lundy's squad is fighting up there in this in-state battle. I won't tell Coach Lundy that I laid 20 on with Wisconsin, because that looks like it's the dead wrong side right now. Milwaukee's showing some life in this game and an opportunity to shock the college basketball landscape here. We do have another basketball game going on right now of interest, as we've got the 12th ranked team in the country, Matt, in North Carolina, and they're only up 3 right now on Florida State at the under 16 media timeout. That game's on the bottom corner there. So Florida State, a 7-6 team, new era down there, had a long stretch, a 5-game losing streak, and right now they are battling UNC on the road.
I talked about this last night. During the holidays, you never know if you're going to get a fully focused team, and tonight you don't have a focused favorite, talking about North Carolina. And a lot of coaches always say you got to guard against this over the holidays, before Christmas break or after. You don't know where a player's heads are at a lot of time. And North Carolina looks like it's not into the game tonight.
Yeah, it was funny because a lot of the teams, the big boys that played last night, we had Alabama, we had Purdue.
You know, Houston did not play that well last night.
Yeah, I would say that was the one of the big boys who did not play all that well last night. But a lot of the other squads,
Iowa State played well,
ready to go. Yeah. Big third down upcoming here for Illinois. Again, they are now in better field goal range. But in a game like this, you want to only go up 6? And I guess if you took the points, you're hopefully old Brett Bielema to kick the field goal. But yeah, this could be a situation where they're trying to get a couple yards here on 3rd and 9, as the ball is sitting at I believe the 10-yard line right now for Tennessee.
Big play in the game here, Joe.
Here we go, Jim. And then we're going to have an incomplete pass.
Out of his reach, incomplete. 4th and 9 with 5:19 to go. I got to think Brett Bielema is going to kick the field goal here to go up 6. But that leaves you in an uncomfortable situation because Tennessee can drive down, obviously, and take the lead. It does help you out, though, if you bet the total under, because that's much less likely now you're going to get overtime.
You bet the dog and you bet the under. You are enjoying that incomplete pass in the back of the end zone, seeming more, not impossible, but unlikely that that overtime happens. 5:19 to go. Illinois, a chip shot 28-yard field goal is good. The Illini now up 6. And you got to ask yourself right now, Matt, Tennessee plus 160. Is that worth a bet?
I think you might. Well, just a minute ago, we were talking about Tennessee plus 200. So the price has dropped a little bit. By the way, that 28-yard field goal by the Illinois kicker, that's exactly the way the Chick-fil-A cow put it through
just
the
drilled
uprights.
Drilled it.
Yeah.
Matt's favorite graphic that we have at VSIN is about to be shown on the screen. Our New Year's live programming graphic, because, Matt, we are fully stocked.
Yep.
New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, a numbers game, prop points, money moves. Of course, start the day with VSIN by the books. Matt and I will be on with VSIN Primetime New Year's Day. Spend your new year with VSIN, the nonstop home for sports bettors.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The old saying, it's never under until it's over, Matt. It is very apropos to what we are witnessing in Nashville right now. This was a dead under game, 10-7 at the half. Well, lo and behold, Tennessee decided to take a kickoff back to the house, and the Vols now have a 28-27 lead.
Wild second half here. It turns into a shootout. After he fumbled the kickoff, bobbled it, let's put it that way, then picks it up and takes it all the way.
The live total right now up to 58.5. The total pregame, 61.5, 62. And our gentleman who joins us right now in the state of California, he will be on the sidelines for ESPN Radio's call of the Rose Bowl, Alabama and Indiana, is Ian Fitzsimmons. And he is very excited to hear play-by-play from me of a kickoff return. Ian, did you have a little overaction?
Come on. Give me the over in that damn game, partner. Let's go. By the way, I am at the Alabama Team Hotel right now, and my great doorman here. What's your official title? Security. There you go. Security guy is holding the camera. I'm not kidding. And I just greased him. So I lose money every time I talk to you.
Welcome.
I'm actually losing money. So that's why I need the over in that damn game. But I am at the Alabama Team Hotel. I'm hosting the Kalen DeBoer Show in about 45 minutes. Only for you, Tim, would I to take time away from preparing to do a radio show for the head coach of a team in the college football playoff.
Well,
you're the only some. Never mind. I'm not going to say it.
Well, I got to
do this for. So there you go.
I got to ask you now. Because Matt's going to ask you the important stuff like X's and O's. I got to ask you because a couple weeks ago, you gave us a live hit before Oregon and Iowa. It was pouring outside your hotel. So what is the latest, Ian Cantori, on the possible weather for you sidelines New Year's Day inside the Rose Bowl?
I brought the raincoat. I brought the slickers, all of it. It's going to be raining before the game, which I hate because that beautiful field should not. It's like carpet. I told you twice. It's Texas A&M and the Rose Bowl. Those are the two that are just. If I get my lawn to look like that, I mean, I could die in peace. So we're going to have it carved up tomorrow because it is going to be raining beforehand. By the time it kicks, it should clear, but it's still going to be a muddy track.
All right, so it sounds like the field's not going to be that bad, though.
Players are walking past me right now, by the way. This is so awkward. I mean, Alabama players' parents are walking by me, and I'm going, please don't ask me too many very specific questions. And I know you will just because I know you too. So there you go. All right, come on. Fire away. Here we go. Let's go.
Can't say anything negative about Alabama right now. But how is Alabama going to run the ball?
I don't care. You know that. It's just going to be very awkward. I mean, come on.
How are the Tide going to run the ball against this Indiana defense? It's going to be a problem, right? Is Alabama going to be one-dimensional offensively? Is a lot going to be on Ty Simpson here?
That's a great question. And when you look at Alabama's offensive line, they are as healthy as they've been all year. That's number one. Number two, so is Jam Miller. They're outstanding running back. But when you look at Indiana – And I talked to Barry Switzer, you know, a legend in the coaching fraternity. This was before the Arkansas-Texas game. And, Tim, you and I talked about this. I mean, 1969 was one of the greatest games ever. You had not one, not two, but three presidents all in attendance for that game. That's the reason I talked to Switzer, because he was on that staff for Arkansas going up against Texas. And when I asked him about the state of college football, right, and he said, Indiana is one of the top five teams in college football. Are you kidding me? Indiana? Now, there were a couple expletives in between Indiana and are you kidding me? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, man, they are. Go watch what they did against, Dan Lanning and Tosh Lupoy coach team at Oregon, at Autzen, and they found a way to win. Then, again, I know a 27-yard missed field goal by Ohio State. It's still 13-10. Man, they were as physical as Ohio State. They were as physical as Oregon. And that tells me everything you need to know. And that's what I was trying to tell Coach Switzer. Look, man, this is not an Indiana basketball-type program. This is Indiana football. And they will knock the ever-loving snot out of you. And it's not a... It's not like they have, you know, one guy on defense or two guys on defense. And DeAngelo Pounds is an outstanding nickel corner, right? I mean, we all get that. But what they do is it's a collective passion that they will instill their will upon you. It's not like they have that one guy that you have to know where he is. Like a Reuben Bain, you know, when it comes to Miami and Ohio State, right? I mean, Bain, when the first time I saw him in person, I told you this last week or 2 weeks ago, Tim, that dude is just different, man. You're stacking books on his calves. Indiana doesn't have that guy, right. But they are a collective group that just plays with a remarkable passion and together. So that's what Alabama has to deal with defensively. Now, offensively, Man, they're as healthy as they've been as more players are coming.
All right, you know what? I'm getting uncomfortable for you, Ian. So let's turn our attention to games you can make picks on, because you don't pick your own game.
There goes one right there. See that right there? There you go. Right there.
Ian Fitzsimmons, by the way, will be on the sidelines for Indiana and Alabama, the Rose Bowl on ESPN Radio. Let's go tomorrow night. I know you like hard-fought games. You like snot bubbles. This is your type of game, right? You've got Ohio State.
Why do you keep going back to that? Dude, that was like 2 months ago when I gave you that quote.
I'm never going to forget it. It's a great way to encapsulate what that game was.
I'm going to grease my guy here, my security guy, another 10 bucks. But anyway, go ahead.
What do you make of tomorrow night? Can Miami find success offensively? You were at Miami, Texas A&M. How does Miami keep within the number 9.5 right now?
One, I don't think they do. Okay. Now, I can comment on that one openly. So, hey, every Alabama parent, how we doing? Good to see you. Yep, we're good. Yep. I can go off on this one. I love Ohio State laying the points. Mm. Absolutely love them. Number one, because where you are, Vegas is begging everyone to take Miami, and I'm going the other way. You know I'm a contrarian. Now, look, Mesidor and Bain are just two of the best they might be the best edge rushers in all of college football as far as a combo. And you have Scott coming back as the one of the best nickel corners in all of college football. Don't care. That number is so big. It feels like that Vegas is begging America to take Miami. Give me Ohio State. I'll lay the 9.5. As you know, I always buy the hook coming down. I'll take the 9. Give me Ohio State.
All right. How about Georgia laying 6.5 to Ole Miss? You got an opinion there?
Don't go near it. Okay. I would not go near it with your money. I mean, no shot, no how, no way. I'm not touching that game. Now, if there was one aspect of that game that I would touch, might be the over, but other than that, man, I'm not going near it. Just because there's so many unknowns, especially when it comes to Ole Miss. Now, I love the attitude that Pete Golding has, and also how he has told America, this is Charlie Weiss Jr.'s offense, not Lane Kiffin's. And that's why Charlie Weiss Jr. is now calling plays. Don't care. Don't go near it. I'm not touching it. Not even with your money.
All right, before we let you run, we got one more game. You've seen Oregon up close and personal this year. This is the shortest line.
You got to go? My security guy's about to go. So, yeah, last one.
All right, final one. Oregon, Texas Tech before your security guy goes away.
This is another one, man. Now, you know, my daughter is on Dan Lanning's staff, right? It's a low level. I mean, I'll say low a level, the lowest you can get. I don't even know if she's getting paid yet, but she's on the, you know, the recruiting and personnel staff. This is a matchup nightmare, in my opinion, for Texas Tech. I like Oregon in this matchup, but again, you don't ever bet with your heart, because if you bet with your heart, then you're going to get beat. But to me, this is one where Lanning and his guys, they learned from last year. They want this one. They had a tune-up. And as Bill Parcells told me years ago when he was the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys, every now and then you have a coachable win, meaning you get a win, but there are moments in that game where your team stunk. And therefore, you can coach them up and coach them hard and hug them harder. That's exactly what Dan Lanning got with James Madison in that second half, where you and I, Tim, had one of the worst beats known to mankind. I'll take Oregon in this one.
All right, grease that security guy at extra 10 bucks. I'll send you a Venmo. Ian, appreciate it, man.
You're not sending me a damn dime. I'm going to pay him another 10. You aren't sending me a thing. We all know it. And I can't believe, I mean, look, dude, there's just players in the background here. I mean, we're doing this whole freaking thing right now, and just uncomfortable. I don't like you anymore, Tim. I don't.
That's not true.
Either one of
it's
you.
It's not true.
Both of you.
It's
Eric,
not,
you. No, I don't like either one of you.
It's not true. You like your security guy there. You like him.
Caleb, I owe him another 10. You owe him 10 bucks.
There he is, Ian Fitzsimmons.
Goodbye. I'm gone.
On ESPN Radio's call of the Rose Bowl. We got to update you folks on what's going on down in Nashville. Hell of a game between Illinois and Tennessee.
Thank you. This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner of VSiN. Check out vsin.com/advertise or email advertising@vsin.com. Matt, we got a fun one.
Big play here, Joe. Illinois got the first down, fourth and one, got the run up the middle for the first down, and he broke it off for about 12, 15 yards, it looked like. Down to the two-minute warning. Yeah, let's see, that was at the 31-yard line, down to the 17 or so, and Illinois is in control here. Now, Tennessee's got timeouts left, so it's not over yet. But we do go to the two-minute warning, so we have time to talk with Dan Saley.
Yep, 28-27. Quick look at the live number as we welcome in Dan Saley. It is Illinois, a slight favorite on the live line. All right.
Well, you think Illinois wants to milk the clock here, kick a field goal to win the game 30-28, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. That would be the ideal situation there for the Illini. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in Dan Saley, and let's break down the college football playoff as really we have been doing all night long. And we'll start with the Cotton Bowl tomorrow night. Dan, it is Ohio State and Miami. It is a total down to around 40.5. There's some 41s out there. Ohio State, a 9.5-point favorite. You're looking at the favorite in this spot against the Canes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of egg on my face from last time I was on before the A&M Miami game, as I poo-pooed on Crystal Ball and said that, you know, he was going to make the big mistakes, but he did a couple odd things, but by and large, he had a really good game plan, and they did well. And it was actually Mike Elko who number two'd the bet on me. Unfortunately, that's how those games go sometimes. Quarterback had a bad day, but I think this is going to be a little bit different going up against Ryan Day and Ohio State. Look, Miami's got a great O-line. We saw it. We saw how well they played, how well they ran the ball. They ran it certainly a lot better than I thought they would. And we know they have a great defensive line. We see that. But so does Ohio State. And again, I think Ohio State learned the lesson just like they did last year when they had the Michigan loss. They did this again against Indiana. And I hope they learned this lesson. When you have superior athletes, especially on the outside in skill positions, you want more possessions, not less. You want more opportunities for those guys to prove that they're better and show they're better and score more points. So I don't think they're going to make the mistake that they did against Indiana. And I do like Ohio State to win this. I made the game about 10, so I will lay the 9.5.
Yeah, if you're Iowa, you want to shorten the game. If you're Ohio State, you want to play hurry up. You want to play at a faster pace. Ryan Day's calling the plays here. Do you think that'll help the Buckeyes that Day's going to call the plays, or really no difference for you when you handicap it?
I feel a little bit more comfortable that he's calling the plays now that their OC has left, you know, for another job or is on the way out, so to speak. Again, I you got to think that they learned this lesson from last year. Again, they did it with Indiana. I understand it had worked all year. They didn't really need to have that many plays. I think they averaged one of the fewest amount of plays per game of any team, but it just didn't seem to matter, right? They just kept knocking every team out, and they kept covering, you know, pretty much. So I think they saw that, and they're like, okay, it's big boy football, playoff football, no more playing it safe. And I think they're going to unleash the horses with Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. And that's what they should do. More possessions, more chances to win.
Dan, just quickly here, because it's our game of the night and people probably want to know, USC, TCU, and the Alamo Bowl, it's going to kick off in about 15 minutes or so. Did you play anything? Right now the number is between 4.5 to 5.5, circa DraftKings, total of 56. Anything for you in the game tonight?
No, you know, when Hoover – went in the portal, I really kind of looked at USC as being a really good play. But as I've looked at some of the players that are also in the portal for USC, I felt like I really don't want to get involved. And let me just say, this has happened to me about three times in the bowl season where we're down to the third string, fourth string. It's like some sort of freshman quarterback who's never played. And three or four times this year going against me, these freshmen have just balled out. and played a fantastic game and just out of nowhere. And you're not expecting that. Usually you want to go against the third string freshman who's never played. But these guys, I think they're seeing the opportunity to show who they are and, you know, get some NIL money. Just like that kid today, Coastal Carolina, comes out with a 180 rating in the first half, just throwing the ball everywhere. So no, I don't know who's going to show up for TCU, and I just don't want to get involved.
All right, fair enough. How about let's see, let's go to Oregon, Texas Tech. I've got the Ducks 8-1 to win the whole thing. I'm uneasy about this game, the Orange Bowl on Thursday. And it's early kickoff, too, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Oregon bet up to a 2.5-point favorite. Do you agree with the market move here on the Ducks?
Yeah, a bit. And I'm also worried about the early kick, although since there is enough time in between games, hopefully that they've got a plan for that. What's more concerning to me for Oregon is the fact that they're losing both coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are human. I expect them to, put their effort to do well in this game. But, man, they're also trying to build a roster, and the portal's going to open. So these guys are busy, and there's just no way they can be 100% mentally focused on this. So I don't really know how to quantify that. I hope it doesn't become an issue. You got to love Texas Tech and Joey McGuire. You got to love the Red Baron. But, the backup, Will Hammond, is out for the year. So I wonder if that affects how they play him. But I really feel like what we saw from Texas Tech, I mean, they did what they needed to. They kicked the crud out of every team in the Big 12, beat them by 20. But they just didn't play anyone on the level of Oregon. And I still feel like Oregon has another level that they can attain. And I'm glad that some of the players talked about the last game. They felt like they kind of had lost. They weren't playing music in the locker room after the win. They feel like they have more stuff to do. I like that. I think Oregon's going to take this to a higher spot, and I think its whole run game is really where it's at. Can they run on Texas Tech? Texas Tech hasn't really let anyone do it, but they've never faced a running game like Oregon. I do like Oregon to win this game. I like them on the money line. I don't really feel like laying points. If you got to figure out a way to make a parlay of some kind to make a decent money line, maybe do it with a couple NFL teams that have to win and they're facing teams that don't, something like that. But I like Oregon to win that game.
Dan Saley joining us here, getting us ready for the college football playoff. Tomorrow, New Year's Day, Rose Bowl will have Alabama, Indiana. FanDuel up at 7.5 right now. It's minus 20 for Bama. Still sevens out there. What are you making of this spot here, Alabama and the Hoosiers?
I think it's the most interesting game of the weekend, at least the most interesting matchup, because I could see this kind of going a few different ways. I don't know if you guys saw the forecast, but it's just going to be a downpour. It's going to be a lot of rain going on. But interestingly, not that cold. If you saw the weather forecast, it said one of those, it feels warmer than the temperature is. So I'm kind of curious how that's going to play a part into it. But to me, it's really about the health of the Bama team. These guys are getting healthy. They're talking about how they've felt better right now than they've felt all year. Getting LT Overton back, I think that's huge. Josh Cuevas, getting him more healthy, I think that's really big. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Mendoza. I don't know if you guys remember this, but back in the day, there was always this theme about the guys that went, the quarterbacks that went to win the Heisman. They got on that banquet circuit, and they just ate a lot of dinners. And then usually they just didn't play that well in a bowl game. Now, of course, back then we didn't have a playoff, but it seemed to be anecdotally that was the case. These guys had trouble playing that first game back. I think this is a dangerous spot for Indiana. As much as I love Cignetti, and I think they're fantastic, the other thing that people got to factor in is losing Stephen Daly. I don't know if you guys saw that. He was high-fiving people in the stadium after the game. And he tore his ACL or whatever. That's just the worst way to get injured. But they have not played a game without this guy. And he is their tackle for loss guy. He lives in the backfield. 19 of them this year, 5.5 sacks. I think that really hurts Indiana. Indiana's staff, as talented as they are, I mean, they're players, it's not like those guys grow on trees. And this is not Ohio State where they just have five-star after five-star. I mean, Indiana's building toward that. But I think this is going to be a problem. I made this game a lot closer than that number. So I like Bama, especially if you're going to get 7.5. I think Bama could, and keep in mind, though, Ty Simpson has to play in that midseason form, like when he went to Georgia, when he was going 19 of 21 each game for those, like, four-game stretch. He needs to be like that, on fire. They can't run the ball. They're one-dimensional, but they know this, and it hasn't hurt them that much, necessarily. I like Bama in this game with the points.
Dan, always appreciate it. Best of luck with your bets.
Thanks, guys.
Game-winning field goal potentially about to be kicked by Illinois, Matt. Tennessee, Illinois will get you updated on what's unfolding in Nashville before kickoff in San Antonio.